This is Scott Becker with the Scott Becker Business Podcast. I'm thrilled today to be joined by Cody Fitzgerald. Cody's the founder of a digital marketing agency. Fascinating background. Thrilled to visit with you today, Cody. Cody, can you take a moment and introduce yourself?
Yeah, thanks for having me, Scott. Honored to be here. So Cody Fitzgerald, 26 years old, based out of the Iowa City, Iowa area, home of your University of Iowa Hawkeyes. Terrible to hear about the football season, but we will get past it. So my background really started when I was 18, 19 years old. I originally went to Iowa State University, now live in Iowa City, which I've never had a good affiliation with Iowa State. Definitely wouldn't consider myself a Cyclo, definitely more of a Hawkeye myself. But went there for 1 year and actually originally went for nutrition to be a dietitian, but switched over to business after one semester in, and naturally 1 year in, you don't really go into a ton of your major classes anyway. But met a couple business guys out at Des Moines and really just got fully engrossed into the business world, learned a tremendous amount from those individuals, and then dropped out after my freshman year of college. Because really, I mean, the main reason was I just didn't know exactly what I wanted to do and just didn't feel a real need to spend $25,000 a year to figure that out. So left after 1 year. It was tough. I mean, that was probably the first big decision in my life that I made that wasn't popular, among a couple I'll get into on this podcast. But that was a big decision. I mean, naturally, social pressure and parents not liking that decision, but went with it anyway. And then 4 months after that, I started working at a company called Cottingham & Butler out of Dubuque, Iowa, where I'm originally from. And they specialize in working with trucking companies on their insurance programs, and basically got an internship there where I was making cold calls, just 50 to 60 cold calls a day, setting appointments for senior level sales executives, and did really, really well. And after 6 months, got a full-time position there. And then after that 6 months in that position, 1 year in, then for the next 5 years, for 6 years total, was a sales executive there and did really, really well. I was in my division of 45 salespeople, was the only one that hit the actual sales goal that the company established for the 5 years. And I loved it. I mean, I loved working with trucking companies. And then basically fast forward, so that was in 2013 that I started there. Fast forward to the tail end of 2016, beginning of 2017, started a company called Omni Digital Group, which is a digital advertising company, really working with retailers primarily, and really did it on the side. I wanted to start something on the side while I had a full-time position, was making good money, but I wanted to see if I could do something myself. And then fast forward to beginning of 2019, so about 2.5, 3 years in with that company, jumped in full-time, and then for the last 18 months have been running Omni Digital Group, which is an advertising company, and then Faster Insurance, which is basically a technology-built insurance brokerage, very similar to what I did before, but just wanted to see if I could do it on my own, and that's where we are today.
So let me ask you three or four questions, sort of follow-up questions. One, you were the top salesperson in a 45-person group. Sales skills, born or made, natural or developed? What's your sense of that? 30 seconds on that. Is that a natural or developed skill?
So I think I would say about 60 to 70% of it is natural. And then the other 30 to 40%, which I think is more important, is learned.
Fascinating. Next question. More nervous starting your own business or dropping out of college?
I would say dropping out of college because it's not normal. I mean, how many people do you see, quote unquote, that are typically successful, however you want to put that word on, to drop out of school? I mean, you just don't see it every day.
And the college experience today, you made the decision that the cost benefit wasn't a smart choice. So many parents struggle with this today, and kids. And the kids struggle with it more sometimes because they're paying for it themselves. But you're spending anywhere from $20,000 to $70,000 a year to send a kid to college today. The connection to that in the job market, unless you're a top student doing a very, very specific thing, is somewhat amorphous. Any thoughts on the cost-benefit analysis of college today?
Yeah, I think it really – I mean, I'll be the first one to admit it totally depends on what you want to do. I mean, naturally, like yourself. It's like, if you want to be an attorney, got to go to school. If you want to be a doctor, got to go to school. But I think in the business world specifically, which is, I don't know, probably 30 to 40% of the kids going to college, I just would really challenge them to, even when you're in school, let's say you get a degree, think differently. Like, what unique experiences can you get? But this is the number one thing I tell a young person. What is the skill that you want to develop? For me, it was sales. Like, I didn't need college to develop sales. So if you want to develop leadership, sales, engineering, development, medicine, whatever it is, like, get to be the best that you possibly can at that skill, because that'll pay you more by being the best at it than having a college degree.
Now, I have a question. I have two children in college currently. Do I need to hide this podcast from them?
No. I think, I will be the first to say, like, I have coerced at least one person to stop going to school. But what I would say is that you have to be, like, I've always told people, try to get in alignment with what you're best at and what your passion is. Because a lot of people say, oh, you follow your passion, but, you know, maybe it's really not what you're best at. I think you need to try to find the intersection between what you're best at and what you're passionate about. And if you can find the intersection of that, whether it's with a college degree or not, like, you're going to do just fine.
Take a moment on that exact point, because I think that's brilliant advice, and give other professionals and my children, my two college children, that advice of finding this mix of what you're great at and your passion. Talk about that for a moment.
Yeah. So first, let's just start with the passion piece. I mean, I personally found my passion through reading books. I'm just a big reader on many different subjects. Naturally, when I found books on sales, leadership, just growing businesses, raising money, I mean, you know, hiring people, all these different facets of a business, I was just hooked. I mean, one of my favorite business models and mentors is a guy by the name of Grant Cardone. Find just between books and models and mentors, I kind of consider the models and the mentors the same thing. Try to find somebody in a category that you like and try to model them. Like, what do they recommend to read? What do they recommend to follow? What events are they attending? All the different things that they're interested in that you could become interested in. And then the best at thing, it really just involves, you know, I mean, strictly financially, I mean, people just don't pay for mediocrity. Like, you have to be really, really, really good at what you do, at least in the top 10%. I feel like if you can't be in the top 10 to 15% of something, in my opinion, if you just spend an hour or two on something a day over 5 to 10 years, you will be in that category if you put the time and consistency into it. But I think it's going to be easier to become the best at it when you're passionate about it, because you're willing to put in that time. So that's just kind of my two cents on those two things.
Take a moment on this issue of being in the top 10%, being great at what you do. Isn't it true that in our world, all the economics, all the freedoms go to those folks that make the effort to be in that top 10 percentile?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I had this guy, you know, you listen to things and you read things, and for some reason, some things just stick really, really well. And I have that in my life. And there was this guy that I used to follow. I don't follow him too much anymore, but he said, he used this term, he called it the deserve it factor. And what he was talking about is, do you deserve to be in the top 10%? Like, if you're only, you know, if you're fooling yourself and you're only working, you know, 20 hours a week, truly working at something when somebody else is working 60 very consistently and hard during those 60 hours, do they deserve to make three times the amount of money? Yeah. Or do they deserve to be at least three times as better as you? Yeah. But we all know with compounding, it's going to be way more than just the three times the amount of hours. But I guess that's what I'd have to say on that is, are you truly, like, I kind of evaluate it like this. If you look yourself in the mirror, can you realistically say that you're giving it your all? And if you can't look yourself in the mirror and say that, then you probably need to reevaluate things.
Well, and I think your point is so well taken. And the reality is the top 10% don't do 10% better. They do 50% better, 200% better than everybody else.
Yeah.
So it's then they end up with 50 to 200% more of the rewards than everybody else. And sometimes it gets out of whack in our economy and our situation. And of course, there's been lots published about that. But it remains true that those that really excel get the lion's share of the rewards, fair or unfair. This is the world that we live in. Take a moment on what advice you would have for aspiring business entrepreneurs, aspiring business owners, or, you know, you've got lots of college-age people and business people. What advice would you have for them, aspiring business people?
Yeah, so this is where I think I could almost add the most amount of value, because it's literally to a T the way I set it up when I first got my corporate career, mind you, at 19 years old, selling insurance, which is a traditionally just an older individual's career. But I have some really good advice that I tell everybody I come into contact with that's younger. Is number one, find the place that you would aspire to start. Like, if you wanted to be an entrepreneur or a very successful business person, let's take the entrepreneur route for a second, just because that's the way I visualized it at the beginning, the way I wanted to, is go work for a company for 5 years. And really for two reasons. Number one, because if you can climb the ranks fast enough, I was in management, managed 15 people over the course of my career, was high-level selling, got the ins on the operations, you know, P&Ls, looking at expenses, all these different facets of a $250 million company, and got the knowledge that if I wouldn't have worked for that company, I just said, yeah, I want to start my own insurance agency, I wouldn't have been nearly as successful, because I just wouldn't have known how to do it. So go learn on somebody else's dime for 5 years. And then this is the big thing, is for 5 years, I just stashed away as much money as I could to be able to feel a little less, you know, not that you don't want to feel a sense of urgency, because you do, because you want to build your business, but you just got a little more room for air, which you will make them, and a little bit more room for just breathing when you just have capital in the bank. So I was able to save up the amount of money where I was like, you know what, I feel like I'm ready to take the leap. So learn on somebody else's dime and save up enough money so that you feel comfortable. And, you know, you're going to have, depending on what type of business you want to start, at least some initial capital infusions that have to take place.
So this is great advice. Spend a few years learning. People think they know everything, but they don't. Learn a lot working in a professional environment. And second, save money. Save money. If you save money, it gives you that cushion, that empty nest egg, so that you can go out and do great things. What has worked for you so far in business? You're in the marketing business. You're in the insurance business. What's exciting to you today? What do you look at and say, this is where I want to be in 5 years?
Yeah. So I always tell people, too, I feel like I'm definitely very fortunate where I know exactly the route that I want to take. So the biggest reason why I started the advertising company was really because my number one goal, like if I could say my biggest business goal, would be to buy a bunch of companies and essentially pool those together. Say it's 100 companies that collectively do, you know, million to 2 million a piece, so about 100 to 200 million total, and to take those entities and wrap them all together and take that public. Like, I think that would be incredible. And the advertising piece is the engine that would grow that, with salespeople, media people, copywriters, digital creatives, all those different job requirements you'd need. So what's really exciting to me is just the thought of, or where I want to be in 5 years, is buying our first company, where we would basically be a private equity company, where we would either buy a percentage of it or buy the company outright and use the skills and the talent that we have with Omni Digital Group to actually grow and then build that company and then eventually potentially sell that company, or again, take the companies and wrap them all together and take it public.
Well, so exciting, and it's so important to have big, big goals. I mean, you're a Grant Cardone fan. I've read some of his stuff, the 10X and so forth. Talk about the importance of setting goals. Are you a believer in setting goals? How do you look at goals? A couple moments there.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I have a binder that I try to look at least monthly, that I set at the beginning of the year. And this year I don't remember who it was from, but I stole it from somebody where they just talked about setting visions for the decade with being a new decade. And I thought that was pretty cool. So I have like 15 things that if I accomplished by 2030 would be pretty spectacular. But, you know, I think I heard a really good analogy the other day where it was Michael Johnson, who I can't remember what Olympics it was, but he won the 100 meter and 200 meter for Team USA at the Olympics. And he talked about, he had somebody ask him, like, how do you set goals, Michael? And basically what he said was, if I go into the supermarket without a list of what I'm going to buy, he's like, after 45 minutes, I'm standing in aisle 8, you know, wondering where I am and how I got here and what I have in my cart. He's like, if I go in with a list predefined what I'm going to buy, I'm out in 20 minutes, no problem. And I think it's really relatable to goals, where it's like, if you don't have anything written down, A, how do you know when you've gotten there? How do you know when, you know what, it's okay to pat yourself on the back? How do you know when you've accomplished something great? How do you know when you need to adjust? Like, you just don't know the roadmap in order to what you're trying to accomplish. So I think having goals is important, not only for just seeing what you've accomplished, but just knowing where you're going.
Yeah, no, we think that's fascinating. We've never heard the Michael Johnson story on setting goals, but it's so true. You dawdle all over the place unless you have clarity of what you're trying to accomplish this day, this year, this month, whatever it is. Fantastic advice. Cody, how do people learn more about your marketing business? How do they work with you? How does their company work with you if they wanted to work with you? How do they learn more about Omnicom and what you're doing?
Yeah. So basically just go to omnidigitalgroup.com. If you just search in Omni Digital on Google, it'll be the first thing that pops up. Definitely reach out to us. I also have a bunch of information just on my personal website, which is literally just Cody Fitzgerald's, K-O-D-Y, F-I-T-Z-J-E-R-R-E-L-L-S, a little bit of different spelling. And if you just literally search that in Google, I try to just publish stuff on sales, money, health. I'm a just big health guy, just as much as I can on just practically what's helping me in my life. And feel free to just reach out to me on both those platforms.
Fantastic. Cody, what a great pleasure to visit with you. Congratulations on your success. I love the story. I love the growth. I love the story. Thank you so much for joining us. And can't wait to get you back on to talk more about goal setting, sales, leadership, and more. Just fantastic what you're doing.
Yeah. No, I appreciate you so much, Scott. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you for joining the Scott Becker Business Podcast. Just fantastic. Cody Fitzgerald, amazing entrepreneur, a great story. Fantastic. Thank you, sir.
Thanks, Scott.